I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness. From my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80, and your smart speaker presented by Progressive Insurance, backed by nobody's demand but our own. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, we're in for the guys. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, how you get in on the conversation. I've got plenty to say about, I think, one of maybe... just the worst power rankings I've ever seen in my life. And it came from ESPN.com. Like, Harry, people say all the time, well, you guys won't say this and won't say that. Look, I work for ESPN, and the power rankings are out on the NFL from the NFL side on the ESPN.com. And, Harry, there's so much hot garbage there. I feel like it's a warm summer day in Nashville, and the trash guy didn't come this week.
A hot summer day in Nashville. Try a hot summer day in Texas, probably. Even though it gets really extremely hot in Nashville. But, Fitz, I have to kind of agree with you to a certain extent.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to start this show off today. We're going to start it off with a little positivity. You know why? Okay. Because it's me and you, and I feel like we are beautiful people.
Hey, how was Get Up this morning? I know we got to talk about football. Oh, but you were on Get Up again this morning?
Yeah, it was fun, man. We had James Sweet Feet White on today, and me and him talked about some things off camera. You know, he was a part of that team when the Falcons were up 28-3, and he scored a lot of touchdowns in that game and actually scored the game-winning touchdown. I actually sent out a tweet, and I told the city of Atlanta, I talked to him. He said it was nothing personal. It was just business. I could respect that, and we moved on. So we took a nice little picture together, and I posted it for all my Atlanta people. They can see it, that everything. We're going to let bygones be bygones.
If only it were that simple from a fan standpoint. As Stosh, our producer extraordinaire, can attest to, every time we have like a former Bronco Raider chief on, one of the things I constantly do in interviews with him is I'm like, hey, just I'm sorry for everything I said at my TV every time you made a play. Like, you know, I can't imagine. Good for you for being professional in that moment, Harry Douglas. That's why.
But I have to give James some credit, though. He's really good, man, at this broadcasting thing. I was impressed walking away from Get Up this morning with him. And I told him, man, listen, you have a bright future in this business, too.
Look at that. Well, Harry Douglas got the bright right now in this business. You just got to make me your plus one of these times. Okay, so the ESPN.com NFL Power Rankings are out. And I just, look, as somebody that likes to party, I want to party with whoever decided these were the right rankings. It should be known that NFL Nation provides us with one person in each organization, a coach, general manager, player that's on the hot seat for this article. That's interesting. I like that. And NFL Nation comes in and they vote on all of this. So it gives us a chance to see the rankings in the eyes of the professionals. And at number one, the Buffalo Bills. And I have no problem with this this part of it. I think number one, Buffalo Bills, makes a lot of sense. Harry, I feel good about this. We're on a roll all of a sudden, and then the car screeches off the rails, and everything goes to trash at number two, where they've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sitting at two. Like, how much Tom Brady T is being shoved down our throats that we're suddenly going to decide Tampa Bay walks into this season in the weak-ass NFC as the second-best team in the NFL. This is hot garbage.
Whoa. Why are you upset with Tom Brady? Is it because he took some time off of training camp?
No.
Are you upset with Tom Brady? Why?
I'm not upset with Tom Brady. I'm just like, can we look at the rest of the team? Last time I checked, football is not 53-1. Like, there are still other players. You got an offensive line for this team that's just wildly bad right now. You got weapons everywhere that are hurt. We've got experts going on air saying, well, maybe this is like wearing Brady out, and he doesn't even want to play behind this team right now. And then you're going to put him at two? At two, Harry? It's a blasphemy.
It's very questionable. I probably would have put the Rams there and put them at three, but they're number two. I love what they did on the defensive side of the ball, adding a guy like Akeem Hicks. I think he is the nastiest. Well, let me say, Aaron Donald's number one in that category. I think he is the second nastiest and most physical defensive lineman in the country to pair him up with a guy named Vita Vea. The guy got his tooth knocked out during a game, Fitz, and went to the sideline and smiled about it. I went to thinking to myself, there's no damn way I could have played on the defensive line or offensive line, because if I get my tooth knocked out of my mouth, I'm not going to the sideline and smiling about it. For, number one, I'm trying to find my tooth. Number
Harry
two,
Douglas be finding like a dentist right there. You're like, somebody come down fix
I'm
this.
I'm telling coach, I can't play anymore. I got to go in the locker room. My damn tooth is gone.
I will not be seen this way.
No. No, none whatsoever. But you look at the rest of that. I think a guy, Joe Tryon, I think he's going to have similar, like a breakout year this year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Shaq Barrett, Devin White. That defense is going to be phenomenal. They're going to have a chance to be healthy, which they weren't last year. But you're right. When you look at the offensive line, you lost Alex Kappa, right? You lost Ali Marpet. And then not only that, Ryan Jensen. Now, Jensen is not going for the entire year, but he can come back later while they're trying to make that playoff run. And then you talk about Aaron Stinney, who just got hurt as well. Yes, that offensive line is decimated, but there's also ways that you can minimize and diminish that. Tom Brady last year in the National Football League, and I keep telling people this, he was second in the National Football League from quarterback position to getting the ball out quickly. This year, I think he's going to be first. He has to be. But there's ways you can negate that offensive line being decimated. You can max protect. You can run a lot of screens, right? You can run some draws. You can go tempo to try to negate the rush of the opposing team. So these are all kind of things that I think Tom Brady and Byron Leftwich, they're going to try to go through. And when you look at it, man, they have 18 days. That's less than 3 weeks before they play the Dallas Cowboys out in Dallas. They have ample time to try to figure this out. And the last thing that I'm going to say about that offensive line is when you have a defensive line on the opposing side on your own team that's so good, you can get that work in. That physicality, those bull rushes. You can try to mimic game situations as much as possible with your defensive line and your offensive line so those guys are ready. But when I have Terrific Tom, who is around here selling underwear after underwear and modeling, we seen the video that Giselle posted. And then the other day, he just posted on his story or whatever it was, Twitter, a motorcycle bike being rolled by a guy in his underwear and a helmet. And it wasn't him, but he said, no, I was not filming the Masked Singer. I was out here doing stunts on motorcycle bikes. Now, we know that wasn't him. But Tom Brady is Terrific Tom for a reason. 23 years. He's going into his 23rd season. And people keep thinking that Tom Brady is not going to figure it out. He's going to figure it out.
You can take me to church all day long, Harry Douglas. It does not change the fact that you are building an entire Fort Knox out of bricks of like benefit of the doubt here. You know, like, well, they can change the play calling. They can get rid of the ball faster.
Yes.
Every team with a bad offensive line can do that. So we have to apply that logic universally.
But Tom Brady.
Okay, but the number three team on the power rankings mm-hmm. is the Los Angeles Rams,
yes.
right?
Yep.
Now, let me just make this simple. Number one, I'm not even going to hear it if you disagree with the fact that the Rams have a better head coach, right? Like, we could just agree right now the Rams have a better head coach than the Buccaneers, right?
I wouldn't fight you there.
Okay,
I'm
fine.
I'm not going to fight you.
Good, because you'd lose. And now, be the one fight to beat you. Now you got to look at the roster. Now, Harry played real football. If you're like me, 5'9 and, you know, a half at 165 pounds, you play Madden, right? So mm-hmm. let's just pretend this is Madden for a second. And I walk in and I say, Harry, I want you to pick any roster, and you can pick the best team, because I know I can beat you in Madden as the worst team. So I'm going to let you pick the best team. And up on the screen, it gives you the choice on Madden today of the roster between the Rams and the Bucks. The Rams and the Bucks as they sit right now today. Who you taking? If you're playing Madden with one of them, which one are you going to play with?
You're going to be disappointed in me.
It's the Rams.
I'm not taking them. You want to know why? Let me tell you why. I understand Matthew Stafford just won a Super Bowl and they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, but Matthew Stafford got his first playoff win this year. Tom Brady is Mr. Damn Playoff. Tom Brady has 7 Super Bowl rings. So I am going to take the guy who has been there 10 times, a Super Bowl that is, and won it 7 times. He's 7-3 in the Super Bowl.
But when you're looking at like Madden, I'm just looking at the whole roster. Right now, you know the Rams have a better roster than the Buccaneers up and down, and you're just heaping. Like, you are putting like that big, like, Southern-style, like, scoop of sugar in the hot tea. Like, you're going all in on that with the benefit of the doubt that Brady could just make mask out. Like, Brady is the masked quarterback. quarterback at this point, because you're presuming he can mask everything that's wrong with that offensive line and the injury issues they have. I'm not willing. And what disrespect to the Rams. I mean,
it is. I wouldn't have had an issue if they would have put the Rams at number two and the Buccaneers at number three. I would have had no issue with that, but I still don't have an issue. A slight one, but not a strong one. Now, when you look at the Rams,
we talk about
the offensive line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's dive into that offensive line of the Los Angeles Rams. Because
it doesn't matter. You get quicker routes, mass protect.
But listen to me. They lost Andrew Whitworth. Austin Corbett is now with the Carolina Panthers. And they just had a guy they drafted get hurt.
Okay.
So they're in the same boat.
Well, I mean,
in the same boat.
Are they though? Like, you're presuming not only that will the offensive line issues be fixed, you're also presuming that they could lose a head coach in Tampa Bay, and that's not going to have any impact on all this. Like, you're stacking more and more and more up on the shoulders of Brady. Are you not? I mean,
okay. Let me say this. You know what? My elbow is starting to hurt.
Oh,
my elbow is sore. Oh, Matthew Stafford's having elbow trouble. That's not a concern for anybody.
You know why he's having elbow trouble? Because he didn't get a lot of rest after winning that damn Super Bowl. So now he's taking the training camp off. That's what he's doing. All right. This is just the beginning of the battles about the power rankings we're going to have. Later in the show, we'll talk to you guys, New York specifically, about why power rankings might make you drink. But there are a couple other teams in the top 10 that I think are questionable. One even has a coach on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. I don't know what these guys were thinking. We'll keep breaking it down. But Harry's got to tell you about O'Reilly Auto Parts first.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts. Advice from their professional parts people and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz in for the guys, fired up about the power rankings. And really, not even fired up, let me be clear about my own team. Like, this is for once, I really don't care as a fan where they decide they want to put the Raiders. That'll be proven on the field. But as I continue to look through it, I eye roll the amount of benefit of the doubt certain teams, certain brands get, and others don't. Like I already said, Tampa Bay at number two just makes no sense to me. Well, Kansas City sitting at number four, ahead of Cincinnati. If you're Cincinnati, you're looking at it saying, we had one glaring weakness last year, and that was the offensive line. So what did we do? We spent arm and leg. We spent like a third world nation's annual budget fixing the offensive line. And you're going to have them below a Kansas City team that's losing Tyreek Hill. And Harry, you know this is a wide receiver, but I'll always go back to this. I've said this a million times this summer. I was watching a little bit of film last year with two of our experts. And what they kept showing was every time Tyreek Hill, right before the snap, when you got Tyreek Hill on the field, what you saw was the deep secondary, the safeties, all sort of cheating to where they think Tyreek's going to go, which created this mass opening for Travis Kelce to come in underneath and get whatever he wants. He's able to feast on weakness because you can't account for it. It's part of the reason I think my beloved Raiders are going to have a great offense. They'll be doing the same thing with Davante Adams. But I look at the Chiefs without that Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. I think their offense takes a little step back in a massively competitive AFC West. That's certainly enough for them to take a step back. If I'm Cincinnati sitting below them in the power rankings, I'm asking, Why? Other than the fact that we presume that Patrick Mahomes can fix anything just like we do with Tom Brady. It's quarterback brand bias, Harry.
Oh, man. Now, first I got to ask you this. If you had an opportunity to choose between Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, who are you taking? It shouldn't even take you that long to answer the question, Fitz. Who are
I'm
you taking?
I'm taking Patrick
okay,
Mahomes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
let's speed the damn process up. You up there thinking. What is it to think about? What is it to think about?
Look, so, I don't know that you could have made things more difficult. Like, yeah, that's fair. I don't know. Like, Joe Burrow got murdered so many times.
Oh,
like,
man.
Joe Burrow is, I'm going to nickname him Michael Myers because he's dead at the end of every game, but then he comes back. Like, it's Joe Burrow, part 17. Like, that's.
I love it.
So I respect his toughness, but no, I'm taking Mahomes.
So, in saying that, I understand Tyreek Hill is no longer with the Kansas City Chiefs, but. They still do have a variety of players that they can get the football to. You have a Mecole Hardman. You still have Travis Kelce. You have a Valdez Scantling, a Juju Smith-Schuster. They drafted Sky Moore. You have a Justin Watson. They have so many things and so many players that they can diversify the football to that I think it's going to be harder for teams to say, you know what, who can we key on? We can key on Kelce, but Patrick Mahomes, which is the key, and he's the guy driving the car. He can throw this football to any and everybody. We're seeing it right now in preseason, and I understand it's a preseason game, but the way the Kansas City Chiefs are diversifying the football is a thing of beauty because you don't know who it's going to be on each and every Sunday. You know Travis Kelce's going to get his, but after that, it could be any and everybody. It could be Mecole Hardman one day. It could be Valdez Scantling another game. It can be Juju Smith-Schuster another game. It can be Jared McKinnon. It can be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It can be any one of these teams. But the key piece is that guy number 15 on his jersey, Patrick Mahomes. As long as Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes is there for the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a chance. Now, here's another reason why I would have put the Chiefs above the Cincinnati Bengals. The last 4 years, the Kansas City Chiefs have hosted the AFC Championship game. They went to two Super Bowls. They won one of them. Patrick Mahomes has an MVP under his belt, threw 50 touchdowns in a season. The Cincinnati Bengals, they had a phenomenal year last year, but they didn't win it. Almost doesn't count. Almost doesn't count. If you didn't win it, I don't want to hear anything about it. Almost doesn't count. So when I look at the Chiefs organization and I look at the Cincinnati Bengals organization, I'm putting my money on the Chiefs more so than I am the Cincinnati Bengals.
Maybe by the end of the year, but by week one, is there not some presumption? Okay, so I'll never forget. One of my favorite memories working at ESPN was with Harry Douglas. And we were at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in New Orleans covering the national championship game. And Harry and I were walking the field. As we were walking the field beforehand, he looked up and he's like, man, I remember. It was one specific play. Remember the deep ball coming to you? You remember you lost the ball in the lights for a second?
Yep.
And it just the sense of that feeling and the way it felt to know that that ball was coming to you.
Yep.
Harry talked about that. I'll never forget that. You know, but here's what I think about when I think about that. Great wide receivers, right? Great wide receivers have to be accounted for. And I hear you when you say, look, now you've got to account for 20 different guys. But you know as well as I do, when a defense sits in that meeting room, that defense is getting ready. The first day that tape comes on, there's going to be somebody that the defensive coordinator looks at and says, guys, we have got to stop this guy.
They call them game wreckers. Game wreckers.
Right.
They put them on the board. They highlight them in the team meeting room on Wednesday mornings, the very first meeting for the week.
And you know damn well that when they for the last several years, they've been going, if you're plotting against the Chiefs, you're walking in and under game wreckers, you're writing Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
And under game wreckers, you've been writing Tyreek.
Yeah.
And under game wreckers, you've been writing Travis Kelce.
You're right.
You just took one of those big ones out, and you're like, we got game wreckers, and then we got game modifiers. Like, a game modifier and getting it done. Like, game wreckers matter to me. And there is some, you know, for the Bengals right now today, they know that Ja'Marr Chase, game wrecker, right? Like, they know that they've got the weapons, and not just him, but
Joe
T. Higgins
Mixon,
also.
Game
you know,
wrecker.
Yeah, they've got across
Joe
the record.
Joe Burrow, game wrecker, you're right.
They've got game wreckers. They may not have had an offensive line, and that may have been a season last year kissed by the gods, but my God, like, they have got game wreckers going in. So that's part of it. But I'm not totally, like, out on that. There is there is one team in the top 10 that I can't believe, and that's San Francisco sitting at 7. San Francisco sitting at 7, and I'm just, Harry, I'm scratching my head, and I'm saying, we really think that Trey Lance, like, this is one of the weirdest things we do with quarterbacks. We sit here with Lamar Jackson and we say, well, you know what? He didn't look good in the playoffs. It only has that one playoff win or whatever. Like, didn't play well enough in the playoffs, right? That's what we constantly say. And then we take these quarterbacks that haven't even sniffed the playoffs, and we presume that they're going to be like the second coming. Like, Justin Herbert, we have no idea who Justin Herbert is in the playoffs. Why? He's never made it to a playoff game. So we sit here and give him benefit of the doubt that he'd be great in the playoffs, so we keep the Chargers in our conversation, while we turn around and we downplay the Ravens and Lamar Jackson for what he's done in the playoffs. Like, we don't even know what Trey Lance looks like for starting for a month straight, when defenses start to see his tendencies, start to plan for him, start to adjust to what he does. We have no clue, and we're still up here putting San Francisco at 7. Like, you could just put any quarterback in and it's going to be fine.
I'll tell you who I would have taken out of my top 10, but it wouldn't be the San Francisco 49ers. I would keep them in my top 10. And on numerous of occasions last year, I went on every show that I could possibly go on, and I told them that the best team in the NFC West was the San Francisco 49ers, not the Los Angeles Rams. And a lot of people thought I was crazy, because this is before the 49ers were actually winning. And I truly believe that. Now, I believe in a guy named Kyle Shanahan. I believe in the personnel and the pieces that are around Trey Lance. But granted, he still has to go out there and get it done. The team that I would take out of the top 10 is the Dallas Cowboys. I would take them out of it. I would take them out of there with the quickness. Dallas... You don't know who the number two wide receiver is. I'm not going to sit up here and say that CeeDee Lamb cannot be a number one. I just know things are different when you are number one. Defenses can double cover you. They can put their best corner on you. They can try to negate you any way possible, because number one, you're a game wrecker. I don't know what the offensive line is going to be like in Dallas. And if they can't run the football, now they become one dimensional. I think it's only a handful of quarterbacks in the National Football League that can pass the ball 35 to 40 times a game and be successful. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. Those are the three. And I'll put Josh Allen in that category, because they basically do it damn near every week in and week out. Now, in saying that, something that's bothering me with the Dallas Cowboys are the penalties. And they led the league last year. It hurt them in the playoff game last year as well against the San Francisco 49ers. They have 17 in the first preseason game. They have 8 in the second one. So that's 25. Right now, they're averaging 12.5 penalties a game. And then the head coach does an interview and says, it's not an issue. Those aren't our starters out there. Well, can you tell me this, coach? Your damn starters was out there last year when you led the league. Why is it not an issue this year? I hope they can get the discipline factor down. But when you talk about that O-line, you talk about who's going to be wide receiver 2 and 3, and who can you count on outside of Schultz and Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb from a passing standpoint, there's too many question marks for me when it comes to Dallas.
There are question marks in the NFC that we're going to get to throughout the course of the show with this. We want you guys to join in the conversation. Tell me, who's the most underrated or overrated team going into this season? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Give us your definitive underrated or overrated coming into this season. We'll get some of your thoughts, taking over Barton Hahn, of course. And is it possible that one of the biggest brands in all of the NFL, one of the most important teams to popularity for the league, might be sitting on their butts watching the playoffs this year? I think so. We'll tell you who it is and why next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. And, of course, on your smart speakers. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, brought to you by Boost Mobile, a proud sponsor of the 2022 Department of Defense Warrior Games. With Boost Mobile, feel the power of more money in your pocket on one of America's largest 5G networks. He's Harry Douglas. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys have slammed the lines. We're asking you overrated, underrated with the NFL power rankings out there on ESPN.com. I have a problem with a ton of them, so we're asking you guys, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who's underrated? Who's overrated? One thing I know is everybody likes to tell me their team is underrated and their favorite rival is overrated. That's part of the world that we live in. We'll let you guys take over the show in just a couple of minutes. But speaking of my team, Harry Douglas, I don't take a lot out of preseason games, and everybody knows my fandom of my beloved Raiders. I tell people all the time, cool it with preseason action. Who cares? I remember Art Shell went undefeated in preseason, 2-14 in the regular season. Like, look, I don't take a lot from it. But joint practices mean something to me, right? You know, and joint practices, I think that comes from talking to a lot of guys that have been around the game, that played the game, that cover the game. They'll tell you that, hey, in joint practices, there's a different level of trust between the two coaches. They'll try things that they won't put on film in preseason.
Yep.
They're willing to test things out. They have relationships with each other. So they sit down usually and they have a real game plan for what they're trying to find out about each of their individual rosters. So when I found out that the Raiders, my beloved Raiders, were joint practicing against the Patriots this week, I got really excited. That excitement went from like a 3 to a 10 yesterday when across the board, whether you were reading from Raiders writers or frankly, whether you're reading from Patriots writers, there was a universal conclusion yesterday that the Raiders absolutely whooped up on the Patriots in their joint practices. Now, sure, it's just a joint practice. Sure, it's just a preseason. Sure, it's early. But I think there's a real concern in a stacked AFC about whether the Patriots are even a playoff contender.
And I'll be honest with you. You want to know how I feel about the Patriots in making the playoffs this year?
Yes, tell me.
I don't think they're going to make it. And part of it is because I don't think the roster is there like a lot of other teams in the NFC, AFC. But when you look at the teams, you look at the breakdown of the divisions, right? You think about the AFC North. Possibly you can get two teams. You talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. You talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Now, granted, I think the Baltimore Ravens is going to win that division. But not only that, Pittsburgh, if they can figure out some things on their offensive line a little bit and defensive line, learn how to stop the run, with Cleveland and Deshaun Watson being suspended for 11 games, they can possibly creep in there. You look at the AFC South. And there's two teams that come to mind. The Indianapolis Colts with their rival Matt Ryan to go along with that valuable and lethal run game with Jonathan Taylor, but their defense that only got better. You talk about adding a guy in Stephon Gilmore to your secondary, a guy that can take away one half of the football field, and you don't have to worry about that. That was very valuable to me. Also, they brought in McCloud at the safety position. So they brought in two guys defensively that have won Super Bowls. Now you go out to the AFC West. Oh, my goodness. Any team in the AFC West can make the playoffs. Now, I believe Denver's going to be the team that's the odd man out when it's all said and done. But I don't know how the New England Patriots, and then we're talking about the AFC East. Number one, the Bills. Everybody had the Bills as their Super Bowl favorites. I think the Miami Dolphins is the second best team in that division. You look at a team in the Dolphins who won 8 of the last 9 games last year, with the only loss coming to the Tennessee Titans, who happened to be the number one seed last year. They got better. It's not like they got worse. They kept a lot of guys defensively on the coaching staff to keep that rapport and keep those guys attacked. So when I look at that and then I look at the New England Patriots, I think they're going to be the odd man out. Let's not forget, because everyone is like, oh, the Dolphins. The Dolphins beat the New England Patriots twice last year. Twice. And if it wasn't for a windstorm up in Buffalo, New York, I don't believe the Patriots would have won that game. And if them and the Dolphins would have tied at the end of the season, the tiebreaker would have went to the Dolphins because they beat the Patriots twice. A lot of people don't see. I like to break everything down, Fitz. You know me. I like to dot all my I's and cross all my T's before I come on here and talk about anything sports-wise. And you know that about me.
I think, Harry, you're 1,000% right. Like, the devil's in the details with Harry Douglas. Like, details, that's your new nickname.
Details.
Harry Details Douglas. Details Douglas, that's what you tell everybody to start calling you. But you're right about everything you just said, and I think it's a numbers game. Like, I can't say this loud enough times. Being a playoff team and being a good team are not the same thing. Right, you can be a bad team that makes playoffs because your division just happened to stink. You can be a good team that missed the playoffs because your division is stacked and loaded. That's the AFC this year. I'm out on the Jets. I'm out on the Texans. I'm out on the Jags to make the playoffs. Those three teams, everybody else sort of in that conversation. But you can't sit here and tell me all of the other little things don't matter. Bill Belichick is being questioned a lot right now because nobody seems to know what's going to be happening with coordinators and or how Josh McDaniels has been replaced. He's now the head coach of the Raiders. This is what Belichick had to say about how all of that works and who's running what.
There are a lot of people that are involved in all three phases of the game. Ultimately, I'm responsible for all of it. So if you want to ask who's in charge, then it would be me, because I have the final say in every area.
Absolutely avoiding the real question there. But
I love it, though.
it's hard for me not to see a step back for Mac Jones without Josh McDaniels there, without a clear-cut play caller. It's hard for me not to look around the Patriots and think this is going to be a really tough year. I think that in the overrated, underrated conversation, I think the Patriots, unless you're telling me they're the third best team in their division and outside looking in, you are overrating who New England is, 100%. We'll take your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. There are so many of you that want to chime in. I don't want to cram anybody in, so we're going to let you guys take over Bart and Han. All of your thoughts about who's overrated, who's underrated are coming up.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, in for the guys. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN.com has the NFL Power Rankings out there. A lot of trash on that thing. A lot of trash! So we're asking you guys, who's overrated, who's underrated? We want you guys to chime in. Darius in New Orleans, thanks for calling the show, Darius. What you got, man?
Man, what's going on, y'all? What up from Happy Who That Lane?
Oh, Harry Douglas, the Atlanta Falcon, may not love that, Darius. Fighting words.
Harry Douglas, no, we stayed beating on them, man.
Let me tell you something real quick, Darius, before you give your answer. Thank y'all. You know why I'm thanking y'all? Because y'all got me my second contract. Y'all got me paid.
Gumball on you then, Harry. Gumball on you then, baby.
Facts. That's facts. Darius, what you got? Who's overrated and underrated?
Bro, y'all can't tell me that y'all thinking those 49ers going to be some Super Bowl favorites. Everybody who doing that, please give me your money instead of giving it to Vegas. And me and Harry ain't got to get a word about another new contract. Man, the 49ers, come on, man. If everybody pay attention to this team, they're going to be all right, but you can't put that kind of onus on a new rookie quarterback. The way that the league is changing, they're still in a division that's competitive. Not to mention, they got to get punched in the mouth by the New Orleans Saints this year in Frisco.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Thanks for the call, Darius. I mean, a couple of things. You know, Gumbo's always on Harry, but you should know this about Harry. Like, Harry doesn't eat, like, you know, any place inexpensive. Like, every time I'm traveling with Harry, when he sees a nice steakhouse, I mean, Harry's, what, 5 days a week in the steakhouse? Is that what we're doing here, Harry?
Oh, listen, my wife just complained to me about my card and how I'm eating at the steakhouse while I'm up here in New York right now. She was like, listen, you're going to have to start making lunches and eating that way. I ate
Harry
Pergola
Douglas don't
yesterday.
Make no.
I
Harry
ate
Douglas
lamb chops yesterday.
I mean, I'm just imagining Harry Douglas coming in, like waking up in the morning in his hotel, making a little peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, that ain't no Harry Douglas.
Get damn peanut butter out of here.
Harry Douglas is like, I have certain physical needs because, I mean, you're a specimen, right? When you're a chicken leg specimen like Harry Douglas, then you got to fuel the body the right way. Otherwise, what you doing? Like, that is wild. Are you in on the 49ers being overrated? Well, we talked about the 49ers.
I don't think they're overrated. Here's the thing, and this is another reason why I would keep Jimmy G, just in case Trey Lance isn't the guy we expect. That's why I said that on Get Up this morning. If I'm the 49ers, I'm keeping both quarterbacks. I'm not just going to get rid of Jimmy G. I'm going to keep him.
Yeah, I've been saying that for about a month, so good for you for stealing my takes. More Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz coming in on Bart and Han now.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and, of course, on your smart speakers. Nobody asked for this story on this in the weeds, but this song became hugely popular for Stranger Things when it was in it, and it became used constantly. But what's really interesting is the artist actually not only wrote it, but essentially ran her own record label and her own publishing company. So whereas most artists would make very little money off of that because so many people take a piece of the pie, whew, dinner's on her for a long time. She got them 7 figures off of that Stranger Things. Good for her. Love it when people get paid. Harry Douglas always getting paid. If you see Harry Douglas at the steakhouse, you just tell him it's on him. You just send the bill over there. That's what I'm going to do. You guys take it over. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who's underrated? Who's overrated? And, you know, we can see on the list who's waiting to call in. And sometimes they give us a little insight on what you're going to say. Dana's getting right to the top of the list because I can see what Dana wants to talk about. And as the guy that's sitting here in a Raiders shirt with the Raiders tattoo, preach, Dana, what do you got? Thanks for calling the show.
I got the Raiders being underrated. One, I think our secondary, with the help of our defensive line, our secondary is going to step up, and we're going to shock the world with the defense. Our offense is already set. And I done took $1,500 already because I love to spread it, that we're going to make it to the Super Bowl. We're going to win it this year. We're going to win it.
Dana, I love the call. Thanks for the optimism. I actually looked it up. I put money on Derek Carr for MVP because I think those odds were just too good not to. I have a hard time, though. Like I mean, I'm 45. The last time the Raiders won a Super Bowl was 1983. It's hard for me to make that leap. But, man, I love the optimism. I don't know if they're underrated, though, Harry. Like, I feel like a lot of people are high on the Raiders this year. Like, most people think that they're at least a playoff-caliber football team.
Yeah, I believe so as well. But the thing that has me about the Raiders and the cloud that's hovering over them for me going into this season is that secondary. They have invested a lot of money within that secondary draft wise the last two or three years. You talk about Jonathan Abram, Trayvon Moore, right? Amik Robinson, all these guys, Trayvon Mullen, all these guys have to show up and perform at a high level. And that has not been the case the last few years for the Las Vegas Raiders. I almost said Oakland. But when I look at this team and if they get to the playoffs, that's the area where I'm concerned because who are you going to be going against? Probably a Patrick Mahomes, probably a Josh Allen, probably a Joe Burrow, probably a Lamar Jackson. These are the type of players and quarterbacks you're going to be going against. So your secondary has to be on point. You have to be 4, 5, 6 deep in the secondary. But not only deep, your secondary players have to be able to play at a very high level and get stops and stop opposing teams' wide receivers.
Yeah, well, look, those are all real problems to have in the playoffs, and if I'm worried about that in the playoffs, I will be very celebratory in January. I'm just excited for playoff caliber football. Jeff, in New York, thanks for calling Bart and Han. Jeff, what do you got? Who's underrated?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't want to jump on the other guy, but I also think the 49ers will have a top 10 draft pick this year. I'm not sold on Trey Lance. The other overrated team is the Patriots. If Devontae Parker is your number one option, that's not putting fear in anybody. I know that, trust me. But the team that's most underrated, I agree with you, Harry, is my team, the Miami Dolphins. The win total for Miami Dolphins is 8.5 games in Vegas. The Miami Dolphins won more than that the last 2 years. The Miami Dolphins added more weapons this offseason. Their defense is another year better because they're one of the youngest defenses. And the biggest reason is, I'm not trying to be a hater, we got rid of one of the worst head coaches in the league, and we got a mad genius now, baby. Fins up. Go Dolphins.
Oh, see, the only part I disagree with you is that Brian Flores was one of the worst head coaches in the National Football League. I don't believe that. I think Brian Flores is one of the reasons why that defense was able to be as great as they were. Understanding certain nuances of the game. Now, let's be honest. Brian Flores wasn't an offensive guy, and I don't believe the offensive coordinators, because they put an S on the end, did any justice, nor did I think they had the personnel last year, offensive line-wise as well. Now, let me get to the 49ers real quick. Are y'all forgetting about the roster of the San Francisco 49ers?
Oh, so good. Because
I'm trying to – I don't understand why people don't understand why the 49ers are up there. They have a roster. You talk about Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Jawan Jennings, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk to go along. They don't need a high draft pick at running back. The run game is going to be very valuable because of a guy named Kyle Shanahan. You talk about the misdirection. They had the best tackle in the game in Trent Williams. But then you go over to the defensive side of the ball. Let's remember, they were able to get pressure on opposing teams' offenses rushing 4 people. Not rushing 5, not rushing 6, not sending blitz after blitz, rushing 4 people. They have Ubacam, they have Javon Kinlaw, who's coming back for injury, and he is a physical with an F, not a P, physical specimen. You talk about Armstead, Nick Bosa, two of the best linebackers in the game, and Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. My goodness, the front 7 is amazing. Defensively, and I think Trey Lance as a second-year quarterback is set up for success more so than any other second-year quarterback in the National Football League.
Sure, we just don't know if he's any good. You can be set up for success. Like this is,
that's
I said when they
Jimmy
drafted
G.
Right, when they drafted Trey Lance, I said they were playing chess because the rest of your roster is so good you can take your time. I still think they're playing chess while the rest of us are playing checkers if they keep Jimmy G, because I don't care about the distraction in the room. I care about the insurance policy. At some point, you got to look at it and say we are in a window and we are too good to take the chance that our young quarterback isn't what we think he's going to be. There is no way I'm letting Jimmy G walk out the building when I'm in the middle of a Super Bowl. affordable thick if I can afford him, and they obviously can. That's a part of it that, you know, and we'll get into this with the power rankings, but if you're San Francisco, you're looking at two things. One, can I protect myself if Trey Lance isn't good? Two, if I get rid of Jimmy G right now, I may be handing the Seattle Seahawks the one thing they need to fix their roster, which is competent quarterback play, which is only going to make my division and my job every single day worse. Now, if I'm San Francisco, I'm all in on, like, I don't care what anybody else thinks. This is going to be our quarterback room, and y'all are going to get paid to be professionals and work together. We'll keep taking your calls. So many of you guys want to chime in on overrated, underrated. Love it. That's why we love having this fun. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, earlier, Harry Douglas said something smart about the Dallas Cowboys, but it also needs to be applied to the Philadelphia Eagles. Little accountability coming up next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.